For whom the truth is like poison. It can irritate and sicken and also kill. That's why some of us will go to any length to evade, avoid, or even suppress it. How many of us? There's really no way of telling. Each of us can only speak for himself or herself.
I will never forgive you, Will. Never.
But, Martha, I didn't really do
anything. I am not one of your liberated modern women. To me, infidelity is the ultimate wrong.
Now, Martha, you must believe me. I've never had any intention.
I can never believe it. I will never forgive you. And I will make you pay for this.
Our mystery drama, Smile at a Homely Girl, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Larry Haynes and Terry Keene. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Contact, the 12-hour cold factory. I'll be back shortly for that one. Why bother to look for deep and complicated hidden meanings, especially when you contemplate the mystery of life? No less an authority than the immortal Goethe himself put it as clearly and as simply as this. Getting along with women, knocking around with men, adding more credit than money, thus one goes through the world. Can things be really as basic as all that? For a great many people, absolutely. And especially for the hero of our story, Mr. William Bennett. William is having breakfast with his wife, Martha. One thing you're going to learn about Martha, she is a woman who doesn't mince words. Notice how she gets right to the heart of the matter.
Yes? Linda
Thomas. Linda Thomas.
Why do you repeat her name? Obviously you know who she is. And if that was the point?
Linda Thomas. George Morrow's secretary.
Well, that answers half my question. To Judge Meyer, she's a secretary. What is she to you?
Me?
Hmm?
Well, me, she is, no one.
What they're saying is, you have no relationship with her at all,
Relationship? Well, that's a rather heavy word.
Is it?
Well, yes, it says there's implications in the windows and so forth. What happens is that I have to see a good deal of George lately, and there are all kinds of things that she is in a position to be for
me. Oh, yes, yes.
Like the cousin and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you've been taking her to dinner.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Now, these past few days, we've been working rather late.
Have you?
Yes, taking her to dinner was just my way of saying thank you.
Why didn't you tell me about it?
Well, quite simply because I was afraid that you would misunderstand.
Oh?
As you do. Now, I'm positive you believe I'm having an affair with
you. Mm, you are.
Oh, come on, Marcia.
I'll never forgive you for
all I do is doing nice.
Not only will I never forgive
you. Martha, will you listen?
I have been impressed to do you. And I intend to make you so far.
Martha, please. I am not having an affair with Linda Tom, nor have I had one with anyone else since you and I have been married. I had intended to discuss another matter with you before.
I'm sure I know what that other matter is. So let me tell you that the answer is what my answer has always been. No.
Martha, it isn't all that much money.
You're talking about $30,000. It's only a fraction
of what your folks left you.
Therefore, I should let you squander it. But I won't.
Martha. What do you want?
I have a headache.
Let's get it started. That terrible poison up in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Martha, I'm going to call back.
No, I don't want you to tell her.
She said that it's the first time
that
we've
had... I don't need that to tell her. But I need it. loving, understanding husband. I don't have one.
Martha.
Oh, get out of here. Just go to your precious limb of caution and leave me alone.
Hi, Sarah.
Are you headed for the station?
Oh, I couldn't get my car started this morning.
Oh, well, hop in. I'll give you a lift as far as the library, huh?
Well, I couldn't, but I don't want to miss the train.
What do you mean you couldn't?
Oh, love it.
Come on, Will. You can tell me.
It's Martha.
Martha?
Yeah. All that has to happen is for me to be seen talking to a woman and Martha is convinced we're having a flaming affair.
Well, is it true? What do you think? Does she really have grounds for these suspicions?
Oh, Sarah, here I am, sitting in a car with you. Have I made a pass yet?
You never made a pass at me, Will. Not even when we were in high school.
Oh, you're kidding.
I think I'm the only woman in this town who can make that statement.
Well, I wasn't as bad as all that, was I?
Mm-hmm. It seemed that way.
You know, I don't know what's happening with Martha lately. But yesterday, she became my wife. I have never lived with another woman, and I've had plenty of
fun. I'm sure that.
The fact is, I like to have a good time, go out. Martha likes to stay home.
Poor Will.
Yeah, that's right. Poor Will.
And poor Martha. The handsomest boy and the prettiest girl in the senior class.
Oh, come on, that was almost 15 years ago.
I remember at your wedding, the minister said that here it was proof that marriage is a made in heaven.
Well, that may be made in heaven, but something happened to him on the way down here.
What happened to yours, sir?
Oh, I guess one day we just woke up to the fact that it wasn't fun anymore.
Well, marriage isn't supposed to be fun all the time.
Oh, no.
I'm going to listen to me, the sage little sister, giving advice on connubiality.
Oh, that's a pretty good word. Connubiality.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget, I'm surrounded by the best words you can find. After all, I work in the library. Oh, which reminds me. Martha came in just the other day.
Martha?
Mm-hmm. First time she's been in there in 12 years. Yes, yeah, sooner or later, everybody in town comes into the library, even if only to get out of the rain. Lord, use the restroom. But Martha actually came in to take out a book. And since it was such an unusual event, I even remember the title. It was the part of Monte Cristo.
What?
That I was going to do now.
Monte Cristo. I'm going to do what? Well, isn't that the one about the man in the iron mask that is color is railroad is in prison in Tennessee or however many years in solitary confinement?
Mm-hmm.
You think maybe she's trying to get some ideas, don't
you? Ideas?
Yes. On how to get rid of me. Hi, George. I'm sorry I'm late, but I forgot we were supposed to meet you. And I was in your office.
Hey, you sure you didn't put my office too much extra?
Come on. You happen to be a very beautiful girl. I mean, said any argument from you, I'm not.
Tell the line you've been handing out.
Right?
You told her you were going to divorce your wife, marry her.
Well, people turn and twist what you say. What I actually told her was that if I ever divorce my wife, I'd certainly marry her.
Of all the time for you to be fooling around.
I'm not fooling around. I'm serious. It isn't anything. Besides, it's my affair.
Mm-hmm. One sense of the word, and so it is.
But in another, it's also mine. I've got a lot of money coming into the budget here, and I'm sorry. But there's no time for you to be alienating Martha.
I think we've been alienated from each other for the past 5 years.
I'm happy. I'm happy, George. Maybe if I did, I could do something about it. Oh, well, maybe. Maybe I do know what happened.
Want to tell me that?
Yeah, might as well. Well, part of it is your fault.
Well,
and just about everyone else in town. Since we were kids, everybody kept saying what a sensational couple Martha and I made, what a monster we were. Everyone took it for granted we'd married, and we did. Everyone said, look at those two beautiful people, how much in love they are, and we believed it. Until about 5 years ago, when I guess both of us realized we never really loved each other. You might get a divorce if that things aren't that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You could walk out on it. Suppose I'd die. One of these days.
But, George, believe me, that is why I'd like to look at your secretary, Linda. Look at her now. I'm very much beyond that. So much like Marcy, I think that is. A very young Marcy.
Well, you know who this is, man?
Sam.
Sam?
Sam Lewis, my brother. You know what crazy about him? Sam? Sam Lewis? He's always been kind of quiet. Not pretty the way Marcy was. Still is.
Sam?
You know what's nice to him? Said hello, gave a smile. The high school Adonis. You know, I was very much impressed by something he said by Bruce Van Morgan. He said something like, if after I'm dead, you want to do something for me. Well, at a homely girl. I sure say we could have married Clara. If you've been so grateful, you would have been able to get away with murder for the rest of your life.
But, George, is this
what we're supposed to be talking about? Right. Can you get the $30,000 by the end of the month?
I'm sorry.
You'll lose the option, though. That's not the answer was no. I have a meeting at 4 o'clock in the other room, but Tom Price is going to it.
Tom said he's pretty sure he can arrange the loan.
So if you any idea of the interest Tom will get before,
it won't be low, I know that.
Do you know what Tom Price gets his money?
I know there are rumors.
It's stadium money, underworld money.
Well, right now, it's the only kind of money I can get.
Oh, don't get excited with Tom Price and his people.
Well, I don't know where else to go.
Martin.
Martin has already said no.
He can't say no.
Oh, you don't know Martin.
But I do know Martin.
And what more I'm going to ask him.
Another cup of tea, George?
No, thank you. Martha, I want to talk to you about a matter of life and death.
The answer is no.
You don't need another question.
Oh, yes, I do. You'll come to her, didn't you?
Well, of course not.
Then you decided to come by yourself to see if you could have more success with the old bag than you did.
That is not how well it goes to you.
Oh, that's how it treats me.
Martha, he's in trouble.
He should be.
It's a sound enterprise.
So then you have run from a 30,000.
Oh, I'm overextended now. Martha, you'll go to Tom Pratt.
You should. Tom's in the business of lending money.
Once you start dealing with Tom Pratt, you wake up one morning and discover that Tom's in and you're out.
Oh, that's too bad, isn't it?
But yes, it's fun.
You can think about that when he's with Linda Thompson.
Oh, now, Martha, that's
not... I'll wager she's not the first.
I know Linda, and I can assure you...
I'll be opening. To be seen with her, think a monster of the world that he's been unfaithful. Oh,
my God,
who's going to pay
for that? Look, the Rosamond property can be developed into a major all-year resort. Will and I, we have the know-how. We can do it. All we need is the money to run the auction.
The answer is no.
It must cost the money, sir.
And it will.
Mm-hmm. And there's no danger of loss. You can always carry the auction even at a party. But it's the biggest thing in his life.
Please, stop.
I'm sorry.
He's talking about war, and that he's been treating me to sleep still. I must ask you that seriously.
Oh, but please try to understand it. This could destroy you.
I don't care.
Arthur, you're not well. You don't know what you're saying.
I know what I'm saying. Let him be destroyed.
Martha, you want me to call the doctor?
No, no, no. You're perfectly well.
Consider the computer. It works smoothly, efficiently. It does its job. Then, suddenly one day it becomes erratic. It doesn't make sense. Then, finally it breaks down. And why do we bring up the computer? Simply because it's the closest thing to the human brain. But can also become erratic and finally break down. There will be further exploration into the mysterious abyss of the human mind in Act 2. I have. There was one noted philosopher or other who sagely remarked that the cart has no place for a fifth wheel to be used.
Well, it's easy enough to see the basic soundness of this proposition when we consider the physical appearance of a cart. However, the concept itself may escape us. After all, a fifth wheel may describe more than just a round, disc-like object. It can also refer to a person. And so one may ask, how do we know when we ourselves may have become a fifth wheel?
Leave me alone, sir.
I'm not trying to help you.
Why would you want to help me?
Because I'm your friend.
Your world friend.
You don't look well, Martha. There's something the matter with you.
There is. We are such a matter with you.
It's cool. You look so much in love, Martha. What happened?
Well, you'll see what happened.
I don't see anything.
You're not here anymore.
Martha, you're still beautiful.
Oh, I was never beautiful. I was pretty. Beautiful stage, pretty stage. That's why he runs around with other women.
He doesn't run around with other
women. Don't cover up. I didn't try. The torture is one of those women is her own secretary.
Martha, there is nothing between
you. Don't try to tell me. It's in my mind.
It is all in your mind.
You do need to yourself. You go back to him and tell him it didn't work. He isn't ever going to see one single penny of my money. Nothing.
Okay. Couldn't you see it, Doctor?
It's none of your business.
Couldn't you see it this time if you can see it well?
What kind of doctor did you have in mind, you and Will?
Well, just look at you.
Psychiatrist, maybe?
Come on,
sir. Of course, that's the plan.
What
plan? When you and Precious William cooked up the food meal?
There isn't any plan.
Maybe you can get some food to decide on, too.
No, that's ridiculous.
And then you can put in the work.
Martha.
That way you can get his hands on all my money. What's the plan, dear?
No, Martha. There isn't any plan.
There is never going to get one penny from me. Period.
Martha, let's say you're right.
You wouldn't either.
It doesn't matter. But there's still the rest of your life to go through. Whether he's guilty or not, I guess. You're married. You don't believe in divorce. Don't you want to stay with her all the time? Get her angry?
It's his fault, isn't it?
It's his fault, too. Trying to be reconciled.
He only wants my money.
Maybe that's what's wrong with you, Mary. There's my money and his money.
He doesn't have any.
The two of you used to be so crazy about each other. It couldn't be wonderful. If only you could be kept young.
I'm sorry.
Look, don't worry. Good night. Have a beautiful dinner. Prepared with wine, candlelight, everything. Maybe you'll find each other again. Well, the meeting was on that and that person. You know what he wants? It's not everything. I'd wind up here with those walls here, of course. George, I don't know what I'm going to do. Tom Kent is what I'm reduced to, and if I let him in, I'm dead. Mind to try my kids? No, I'm poison around there. I'm for him tonight, right now. I've been with him. Right now, all I would need is that sweet, warm, understanding wife of mine. No sense. Well, I spoke to my son. All she needs is for you to meet her halfway. Come on. Why do I have to have sort of a date with Linda tonight? There's no future there, and there'll be. But at least the present is so present. How upwind. If you and Martha have a problem, George. A place that I do it, Paul George, I've tried. I wish I could tell you how I've tried. Will, the man that had a situation with a woman, what's your best argument? It's such a beautiful thing about it. We usually get a good present. Is it, the presence?
Doesn't everything married people have together? Do you? Special occasion?
You're looking so pretty tonight.
I hope you stay beautiful.
Well, that's what I look beautiful.
Well, I'm starting to be
pretty. You know, looking at you right now, it's as if we were both so much younger.
Really? Do you know that?
Yes, I do. What? Darling, are you all right?
How do I?
Well, you see, somebody really came out from you.
No, I'd like a glass of wine.
Didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Well,
what? Apologies to that. Well, there's a place.
What? What? What is it?
It's I don't know.
The purpose of this coroner's inquest is to determine the manner in which the death came to Master Bennett, Mrs. William Bennett. The first witness is Dr. Henrietta Wright.
An arsonist had been ingested in my mother's mouth over a period of time.
How long a time, Dr. Wright?
Perhaps a month.
And where was she getting this arson from?
From the food in the house.
And how did you establish that?
We tested various samples from the refrigerator and the safe.
And how did she die, finally?
From an accumulation of the poison.
And therefore, Doctor, what would you recommend to this jury?
In my opinion, death was due to arsenic poisoning administered to Mrs. Bennett by... Well, I'm sure we all know by whom.
I accept to that. Now, you have no right to make that accusation.
You're absolutely correct, Mr. Bennett. And don't worry. You'll get your day in court.
Yes, you most certainly will. But it doesn't look as if it's going to be a very good day, does it? Certainly not, when you consider all the evidence. But then again, things aren't always decided in the end strictly by the evidence, are they? We'll see about that in the third act. In ancient Rome, a man saw a lion who was suffering from the effects of a sharp thorn in his paw. It is a minor thing. Anyhow, the man pulled out the thorn and went on his way. Years later, the man was sentenced to be killed in the arena by wild beasts. He was thrown to a hungry lion. Guess what? It is the same lion. And didn't they ever have a happy reunion? Of course. It's called Androcles and the Lion. But what has it to do with our story? Don't worry. We'll have a parallel of sorts.
How could you do it, Warren?
He wants to poison her.
George, I swear to you, expect me to believe you. George, they're going to ask me questions.
Well, under oath.
Yes, I know. You want me to perjure myself?
All I can tell you is I'm innocent,
George. Now, George, somebody has to believe me.
I know what they're going to ask me.
How will you get along with Martha? The money, the bind you were in. You were tired of her, Will. You told me so.
You said you'd no longer love her.
That you never really loved her.
Sometimes we just face her.
And Linda. Be prepared for Linda.
What am I supposed to say about all that?
Yeah. In short, I'm not asking you to lie.
No, that's it.
But there is a certain way of putting things, if you know what I mean.
You did speak about this, Will. I just seem to remember. If things were going so badly between you, why didn't you divorce her? You couldn't answer me. But it doesn't matter. Everybody's going to know. You wanted her money.
Oh, I know it looks bad, but you have to help me, George.
I wouldn't know how.
Mr. Bennett? You've heard all the witnesses testify how you had this very strange interest in your wife's death. Is there a statement that you care to make at this time?
I'm innocent.
Your guilt or innocence is not at issue here. Perhaps the best investigation is to sum up to the cause of death.
Now, let me ask one question. Do I impress you people as a stupid man? I mean, you may not like me, but certainly you'll admit I'm not a fool.
Guess what is the point you wish to establish?
Well, just how? How could I expect to get away with it, huh? After all, if I murdered my wife, I'd certainly be aware of the fact that I'd be the prime suspect, wouldn't I? If I intended to kill my wife, wouldn't I use a method that would be more clever? Now, why would I do something that could be discovered so easily?
May I answer that question?
Yes, Dr. Wright. And I would remind you that you're still under oath.
Mr. Bennett, you depended on Dr. Carroll.
What are you talking about?
I'm sure you know. Dr. Harold Carroway has had a long and distinguished career. It is a long years and semi retired. Your wife suffered from a heart condition as part of her medical record. You counted on that. You were sure that if your wife died suddenly, Dr. Carroway would automatically assume it would be from a heart attack. And that would be the end.
Now, you have no right to it.
I only know this. When I telephoned Dr. Carroll up in the country to tell him that Mrs. Bennett was dead,
His immediate reaction was hot anger.
Well, I don't care what anybody
says. I am only answering the question that you raised yourself. You would probably have gotten away with it had Dr. Carroway been in town. But you had no way of knowing that he would be on vacation. I have nothing more to say.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. We have additional witnesses, but since it is noon, we shall adjourn to lunch and reconvene at 1 o'clock.
Hello, Will.
Hello. What are you doing here?
I thought I'd drop by.
Is that wise? The whole town is just about ready to hang me. You don't want to be known as a friend of mine.
Well, somebody has to stop by and say good luck, Will.
Well, you're the only one, Sarah. Doesn't look good.
Not at this point.
Well, it's not going to get much better either. You see what they're doing. They'll definitely establish the fact that she was poisoned.
Yes.
And they'll have a murder. And at whom will all the evidence point? I'm going to be indicted, sir. There's no way out of it. But I didn't kill her.
I believe you.
And that makes you the only one in town.
Will. Do you remember the senior prom?
Hey, that was a long time ago.
Of course, why should you? After all, it was just another dance, another ball, another party for you.
Well, I guess you reached a certain age where everything was a long time ago.
Oh, I didn't want to go. No, that's not true. I did. I wanted to go more than anything else in the world, but nobody asked me. So, Mama bribed your sister's son and nephew from Chicago to come all the way out here to be my date to the prom. You didn't know that, did you?
No.
Well, of course, he resented it, and I suppose he had a right to. But he went through the motions. He bought me a corsage with Mama's money, and he drove me to the prom in Mama's car. And that was just about the last time I saw him until it was time to go home. I spent most of the night just, you know, standing around with the girls like me, the ones who had no dates or who had phony dates. Like mine. It was the worst night of my life. Until you saved it.
Me?
Yes?
You. How? What did I do?
You asked for a thing.
Oh.
You really don't remember, do you? I just can't tell you what that did for me. I was actually dancing with Will Bennett. The fabulous Will himself for 4 beautiful minutes. That's how long it took the band to first start. I was no longer Sarah Lewis, the wallflower, but Sarah Lewis, the queen of the prom. And I fell in love with you at that moment.
Well, I didn't know that.
Why did you ask me to dance, Will?
I don't know.
Okay. I won't press it. I might not like the suit. After all, it could only be that you were sorry for me.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't face that either. So, I constructed a little fantasy, which was that secretly you adored me, and that one day you would declare yourself. And you kept noticing that little conceit of mine because every time you would meet me, you would smile and you would say hello. You saved my life that night at the prom. And I kept saying to myself, if only one day I can do something for Will Bennett, something as beautiful as the thing you did for me. If only I could save his life as he saved mine. Well, maybe I can.
Sarah, what are you saying?
Well, I can save you. I'm the only person in this whole world who can do it. No one else would know how.
You know what you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, well, I know what I'm talking about.
But you'd have to... Well, there'd have to be evidence.
I know.
Sarah, do you have evidence?
Yes.
You do? Oh, you do. Sarah, I look at you now, and I see the most wonderful person I have. Sarah, what is the evidence?
A book.
there any further witnesses who wish to be heard?
Yes, sir.
Is you, Sarah Lewis?
It is.
Do you wish to testify to the matter at hand here?
I do.
You'll have to come forward and be sworn.
I believe there is medical evidence to prove that Martha Bennett's death was due to arsenic poisoning.
Yes, there is.
And we have every reason to suppose that the coroner's jury will come up with that verdict.
Well, the jury has not yet reached that decision.
They will call it murder.
What is your point, Miss Lewis?
I know for a fact that Martha Bennett died from arsenic poisoning, but I also know for a fact that it wasn't murder.
What's that?
It was suicide.
Suicide? Are you saying that she took her own life?
Yes. Not intentionally, but she did. She poisoned herself.
Well, what do you have to back up that statement? You need evidence.
I know, and I have it. Here in this book, taken from the town library on the 17th, that's exactly 16 days ago. The title of the book is The Count of Monte Cristo. It's by Alexander Dumas. And here is the borrower's card number, 17763. It belongs to Marcia Bennett.
And the clerk will accept these exhibits as soon as their relevance is established.
On the morning of the 17th, Marcia Bennett came into the library and asked me if we had a copy of The Count of Monte Cristo. She remarked that she remembered reading the book in school and enjoyed it and would like to read it again.
I still don't see what this has to do.
I kept asking myself why she would want this book. It's an old, practically forgotten classic. And further, Mrs. Bennett hardly ever used the library. So why would she want The Count of Monte Cristo?
I must remind you, Miss Lewis, that you have been given the floor to answer, not ask questions.
Yes, sir, I understand. She was highly nervous and very upset, and I was sure she had a reason. So I took down another copy of The Count of Monte Cristo and read it carefully, cover to cover. And I found out why.
Are you prepared to tell us?
The Count of Monte Cristo was required reading in our junior year at high school. Something from that book stayed in her mind, perhaps in her subconscious. Somehow it must have suggested itself to her, so she came to refresh her memory.
Can you tell us that something?
Yes. I will show you the passage. There's talk of how to murder someone by feeding him arsenic. And the way to do it is this. First, you yourself take just a few grains of arsenic one day. Then on the next day, you take a few more. On the third day, a few more, and so on. Now, by the end of the week, you would have ingested a considerable dose. Large enough to kill, if taken all at once by somebody else. What Dumas did not quite understand, but what he was talking about, was what today we call the unit of years. The passage goes on to say, now that you are accustomed to ingesting arsenic with no harmful results, you can safely poison someone else.
The clerk will mark his exhibit.
And that's exactly what she had found. She would take these minute doses daily, build her immunity. Then she would fill a bottle of wine with a lethal dose. Now they would both drink from it. He would die, and she wouldn't.
Now
the doctors would examine his body. They would know it was arsenic. But they couldn't blame her, because she would show traces of the poison too. It would therefore appear that he had been trying to poison her and had somehow made a mistake and taken a drink from the wrong glass.
Continue, Miss Lewis.
Everything would be in her favor. Everyone knew they weren't getting along. Even better, everyone knew he had several very good motives for murder. Enough of them had certainly been brought out here today.
But not everyone can build up an immunity to arsenic.
He didn't know that. Neither, I suppose, did Alexander Dumas. Well, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Miss Lewis. The jury will consider this new evidence carefully and retire to consider its verdict.
Hello, Will.
I thought I'd come by the library to thank you. I didn't get a chance back there in the courtroom. Sarah, that book did. It just about saved my life.
Thank you.
that makes it even.
Do you know what you said a few days ago that you had this, this fantasy in which I'm secretly adored you, and that one day I would declare myself?
Yes.
Well, it wasn't a fantasy. Yeah, it's real, I think. I think I always adored you. I think I was always in love with you, Sarah.
Well, you were,
Sarah.
We're making a bit too much noise after all the people
I
buried.
You know, I know you now. But I was always in love with you.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I'm not in love with you anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, well. You should see your face. Shocked? You just married? How is it possible for any woman not to be in love with Will Bennett? Yes. It's possible.
Sarah, I mean it.
Maybe I was never really in love with you, Will. Maybe it was, you know, all gratitude. But after what I did today, I feel as if I can do anything, even meet a man who really loves me.
Sarah, I love you.
Well, Will, thank you for asking me to dance at the funeral park. Now, finally, we're even.
Poor Will. That's not exactly true. He was rich, Will. After all, he did inherit his wife's estate. Perhaps we might call him aging Will. There's nothing so pitiable as an Adonis who grows older. The hair grows, the paunch comes. And as they say, the spirit is hot, but the flesh is cold. We'll have more about spirit and flesh when I return shortly. So much of the motive force of this story is by H.L. Mencken. If ever I depart this veil, and you remember me, and have sought to please my ghost, forgive some sinner, and wink your eye at some homely girl. You remember that now. And a similar sentence may also be found in the Old Testament. It has to do with casting your bread upon the waters. No good deed is ever wasted. Our cast included Larry Haynes, Terry Keene, E.G. Justice, and Ray Owens. The entire production is under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale. I'll tell my boat and Terry.
Be sure it hit me hard in the stomach. You'll see, I don't abandon my friends. We're not the rich who quarrel over who gets what, huh? We'll get money. I've always got my long knife, huh?
Is that? Have you ever wasted on someone?
No. But I'd like to, if I get hungry enough.
And send you to Siberia if you try.
Cut, Brett. They whip you, Brett. Don't worry. You're not rich enough for me to slice you up. Siberia.
Ha!
Maybe some things are worth going to Siberia for.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and True Value Hardware Stores.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.